Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
William Carey University Athletics.
Every sport you find exciting.
Crusader Talk.
This is Crusader Talk. We're covering everything William Carey University Athletics. From the field to the court and the diamond. On Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
You want summer programming? We got summer programming. Hey, everybody, and welcome into Crusader Talk, the show where everything is about William Carey Athletics from the field, the court, and the diamond. My name is Caleb Hamill, joined as I am every week by the wickedly talented Josh West. I wasn't going to try to do the whole John Travolta Oscars thing. Do you remember that, by the way?
I don't.
Oh, so Idina Menzel was going to come out and sing Let It Go, I think it was, back in, I guess, 2014, whenever Frozen came out, and he just completely forgot her name. Just the wickedly talented, stalling for time, Del Dazeep.
Oh,
do you greatest thing that came from that, by the way, at least in my opinion, was the computer programmers that got out there and said, "I'm going to develop a website for this," and so you could type in your name in this website, and it would spit out the John Travolta version of your name. So you type in Idina Menzel, it would come out Adel Dazeem. Caleb Hamill could be like Korishna, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, it would be some completely gibberish. And it just was a meme for a long time.
Even more so now with AI, right? I mean, it would be instant.
Oh,
instantaneous.
Yes. Well, yeah. I mean, you honestly, to me, ChatGPT and all those different things, the best thing that came out of it was code writing that you could type in the prompt, make some adjustments, and boom, you've got something built. Now, that's in my neck of the woods of programming websites and everything else that I do. It just takes away all the menial
stuff. Does it make your job easier, or does it make your job potentially obsolete at some point?
I'm fairly secure with where I am. I think it just makes my job easier because I still have to know what to type in there. But nevertheless, AI is not going to take over the world of sports yet. Now, if animations get really good and they can come up with Cinderella scenarios, maybe. But for now, we're still pretty secure in the feats of athleticism being well protected, especially yes, at William Carey University. And joining us to start off the show, and I mentioned we got a full one. We've got Clayton Rush first segment. We're going to talk to former Crusader baseball player and soon to be parent of a Crusader baseball player, Breck Daniel. And then also we'll wrap up later in the show with Ryan McKenzie to recap track and field on the season. But Clayton, one of our favorite guests to have on, is our color analyst for soccer season. Also does a lot with Hattiesburg Football Club. Clayton, though summer is kind of the slow season when it comes to William Carey on campus, it is not a slow time of year for you and Josh.
Yeah, we've been rocking and rolling with HFC soccer this summer. It's been a fun summer so far, and got plenty of soccer left to play, so yeah, happy to talk a little bit about it.
Now, the thing about Hattiesburg Football Club, we've mentioned this on previous shows, is that it is not just a community thing of just a couple random people. There are William Carey players that are included in this, some local, some from afar. Who have been the hot players to look after as far as their playing abilities over this summer?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, Karen Vallow is a name that stands out when you talk about ladies that have been playing for HFC this summer in the WPSL. She's been fantastic, playing out of the midfield with a lot of really great players from all over, not just from William Carey. And then Ella Jeffcoat's been in there as well. She's been a household name for Danny and his squad for the last two or three years. And then, you can't not mention William Carey and not talk about Christina Salmon. She's been a force to be reckoned with in the WPSL, just like she was in the NAI last year. And yeah, it's been really fun to watch her because, unfortunately with her graduating out, we're not going to get a chance to see her in a William Carey jersey again. So it's been fun to watch her kind of one last time this summer for sure.
Clayton, you're mentioning some of the players that are current and then Crusaders that are moving on to one of many higher levels. What about some of these up-and-coming future Crusaders that are part of this HFC program? And even we've got one that's been officiating as she's nursing an injury this offseason.
Yeah, we've had Virginia Mesa refereeing a couple games as she's trying to kind of figure out a nagging ankle injury that she was playing with last season. You've got players like Sarah-Kate Jeffcoat, Ella Jeffcoat's sister, Not necessarily going to come play for William Carey just yet, but she's actually still finishing up high school, and so she's going to have a bright future, whether she chooses to play at William Carey or somewhere else. Yeah, I mean, a lot of really, really talented high school juniors and seniors that are coming up through HFC this year that are going to have bright futures wherever they go play.
Now, the thing about William Carey soccer that if anybody out there is listening and you've been living under a rock, it's that William Carey, especially in the women's soccer department, is often playing for championships, whether they be conference regular season titles, tournament championships, or even the NAIA championship, which they hold the title for 2018. That same fortitude and mentality carries over into the Hattiesburg Football Club land as well, because this team has been off to a great start and have some big things to play for.
Yeah, they're sitting number two in their division right now in the WPSL, which, I mean, the WPSL is a national league, guys. I mean, this isn't just a regional deal that, you know, you only play against certain teams. I mean, this is a league that has national recognition. There's professional scouts all over watching these games, and you know, you've got Danny's players and some of the best players in the region that are really shining. They sit second in their division, only to the Louisiana Crew out of Lafayette. And it was really just kind of a slow start, trying to get some players in for the summer. Had a couple that were on vacation and some that were trying to get eligible for the summer, or else they'd probably be sitting at the top of the table. I mean, this is a team that was back-to-back Gulf Coast Premier League champions before they made the transition from the Gulf Coast Premier League to the WPSL. So, I mean, yeah, this is a team. The HFC is just a club, and this is a team that's got a culture of winning for sure.
And shifting gears now to the men's side, this is a men's team out of the USL2, highest, again, another league that is national, the highest league that you can play in as an amateur in the United States. And yep, this is an HFC program in year two that has made huge strides in year two.
Yeah, and you know, not as many William Carey players, current William Carey players to speak of on this team. I mean, obviously you've got players like Colby Godbolt, Giovanni Suarez that are on this team that have graduated out, but you've got Coach G, you've got Sean Sellers out there, Sean Hunter out there, you've got Sean Peoples, wow, there's a lot of Seans out there, but you've got Sean Peoples out there, you've got Tom Dos Anjos out there coaching, and so you've got a lot of William Carey coaches and people around the athletics program at William Carey that are then pouring into these athletes for the summer, and I mean, the results have spoken for themselves. They're sitting at the middle of the table, and we're off to a fantastic start this year. Started out 3-1-1, and then have kind of slipped a couple of the last few games, but they bounced back this Saturday, got the 2-1 win. And, but it's really been William Carey's coaches that are over there at HFC that have shined for the men for sure.
Clayton, I know Sean's listening to this episode, so he's going to get a kick out of that, no pun intended. Just looking ahead to what is left on the docket for Hattiesburg Football Club this year, what games do people have left to consume here in Hattiesburg or abroad, and what's at stake for each of the teams?
Yeah, so the ladies have one more home game this Saturday, June 28th. They're going to play against LA Crew for the Mid-South division title. And so, you know, this is a team that had a slow start, but they've got a chance to win their division and really kind of make their mark. And they're going to need some help. LA Crew's got to lose on Tuesday to make that happen. But, you know, should that result come in our favor on Tuesday, they've got a chance to win their division. And then the guys have three more home games. So July 2nd, July 9th, and then July 12th. They've got a three-game home stretch to finish out the season. And so, yeah, if you're looking for entertainment this summer, if you're looking for some of the highest quality soccer around, and looking to get excited for the fall soccer season for William Carey, come on out to any of those three games, and you will not be disappointed for sure.
All right, so we've got about 90 seconds left here, Clayton, and I know you can do this. We'll go women's soccer at Carey, men's soccer at Carey. Brief synopsis, brief preview about when we talk to Danny and we talk to Barry. These are going to be two new-looking squads come the fall that's coming very quickly. Give us a quick preview, broad 30,000-foot perspective of what they're going to talk to us about.
Yeah, so I'll start with the men. Coach Barry Farrell is really excited about this group that he's got coming in. He's got a lot of new players coming in, I think something to the tune of like 20 new players. So it's going to take this team a little bit of time, but you've got players like Ilias Salmonen, players like Joshua Salas that are returning, Rico Dugan that were huge for William Carey in their national semifinal run last year. For Danny, You know, I think it's just business as usual for Danny. He's got a lot of really, really talented players coming in that I'm not going to reveal yet, not going to talk too much about it. I'll let him talk about it if he wants to. But I think Danny's got a really, really good squad coming in that I'm really excited about.
About 16 new players, if I'm hearing the rumors
so to speak. Yep. Yeah, Danny's got double-digit new players. I think it's up to about 15 or 16, yeah.
Every year it's a reload. It's not rebuild necessarily. It's reload for Coach Owens and company. Clayton, what is the way that people can keep tabs on Hattiesburg Football Club as far as where they're going to be and how they can keep in tune to it online?
Yeah, so check out the WPSL website and the USL League 2 website with a quick Google search. You can find HFC schedules on there. And then Sports Engine Play is where the USL 2 men's games are broadcasted. And then the National Soccer Network on YouTube for the ladies. So check them out.
Perfect. Clayton, always a pleasure to have you on. I know that doing this version of soccer broadcasting is a little bit different from Kerry, but I think it's going to keep your chops hot and ready for us whenever we start in August.
Oh, yeah. We're primed and ready to go for August. William Kerry Soccer is going to be a blast, guys.
Looking forward to it. Clayton, pleasure as always. We'll see you down for the next time you're on.
Yep. See y'all. Thanks.
All right. Thank you, sir.
He is Clayton Rush, color analyst of William Kerry Soccer and Hattiesburg Football Club enthusiast and broadcaster as well. When we come back, Brett Daniel joins us in studio, former Crusader baseball player. Stay tuned as you listen to Crusader Talk.
You're tuned in to Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
Moving right along here on this Monday. Glad to have you with us on Crusader Talk. Whether you're tuning in live on 97.3 FM or online, wherever you get your podcasts. If you're wondering if you missed earlier episodes or missed that segment just a moment ago with Clayton Rush, you can catch it on demand. Just search for Crusader Talk wherever you get your podcasts.
I think it is worth, as we transition here away from Clayton's phenomenal segment, he just texted me in the break and said, oh, and by the way, Dalton State and Mobile coaches gone on the men's side. Opportunity for Kerry men's soccer.
Yeah, there's a lot going on in the SSAC that we need to get to eventually as Mobile's already made their hire. I saw that release earlier maybe 2 weeks ago. Michael Azira is going to be the new Mobile men's soccer coach. But we have plenty of time over the summer to cover that and the landscape of the SSAC, how that's changing. By the way, if you're looking ahead to next week, planning on having Commissioner Mike Hall join us, as it was just announced today, as a matter of fact, that Xavier will be joining the SSAC, not this academic year, but starting in 2026 to 27's year. Now, there are some exceptions to that. I believe competitive cheer and then indoor track and field will be official SSAC members starting this season. After that, they'll become fully fledged members. So a little bit of transition time between now and then. We'll also see the exit of Middle Georgia State with all likelihood, as long as all the things with the NCAA go through. So a lot changing in the conference as we continue on over the summer to next year. But that's all things that are ahead as we kind of look off into the distance. But let's look at the rearview mirror for a little bit as we kind of have our little summer edition of where are they now. As it's been kind of in my brain and on my mind for a while to have a moment over the summer to recap some of the former Crusaders that are still around, still being part of the program in one way or another. And first guy that came to my mind was none other than the guy that's in our studio right now, and that's Breck Daniel. I've gotten to know Breck over the years. He's been a supporter of our World Series broadcast when Kerry has made the trip up to Lewiston, been a partner of his at church, been in Freedom in Christ, that class on Wednesday nights with him as well. Him and his wife, Christy, do a tremendous job in their respective ministries at the church, and I thought what better way to bring him on than as our first Where Are They Now Crusader over the summer. Breck, first of all, welcome in. Glad to have you with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right, so your playing days for Coach Hall date back to the mid to late 90s. Mm-hmm. In looking at what baseball is right now, how different is it if you ever go out there to where it was in your playing days?
Yeah, the talent right now is just unbelievable. When I played, if you saw a guy throwing 90 miles an hour, it was a couple of times a year. And now it's every series. There's three or four or five guys at least doing that. So the talent level is just amazing, the difference. probably wouldn't have played at Cary in today's world if I was born a little later. Yeah. No, I think I'm pretty accurate there.
Now, remind me, was Milton Wheeler Field where it is now when you were playing, or was it back where you would hit home runs to the cafeteria?
That's right. Okay. It was back where you'd hit home runs to the cafeteria. So, yeah, that field, the ball carried there a lot better, and we played with hot bats.
Yeah.
You know, so there were lots of home runs there, whereas the field now sits kind of down in that hole, and unless you really poke one, it's not going out. But across the street, we could hit the cafeteria pretty regularly, so it was fun.
Yeah. Now, one of the reasons that I wanted to have this moment of talking about Crusaders that are in the community is the fact that you are very active in our community. I mentioned the stuff at Temple Baptist, but you're also a businessman here in our community mm-hmm. as well. Tell us what's going on in your world this time of year.
Yeah. So my dad started in the car business in the 70s. He played football at Southern Miss, and that's what brought them here from Georgia. And so my dad always was in the car business, and I grew up playing sports, but worked in the summers there. And so when I got done playing baseball, I got my degree to actually teach and coach, and I student coached in the fall. And I just said, Dad, I think I'm going to come work with you a little while. And he said, yeah, I'd love to have you. And 26 or 7 years later, I'm still there. So we run a small business here in town. We sell mostly work trucks to businesses. It's expanded now to where it's, you sell trucks to people. We sold 2 to people in Michigan in the last few weeks. So it's expanded now. The world's shrinking, but it's been a good business.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm hearing you talk about all this, and you talk about just the landscape of the talent changing, just the whole landscape of William Cary. How proud are you having gone to school there to go back on campus, to be at those facilities, to just to be a part of it all? Does it give you goosebumps?
It does. I mean, even you saying it, I've got them now. I go back even further than that. My mom taught dinner theater there when I was a kid with Dr. Quave. And so when I was 4 or 5 years old, I ran around at the bottom of Tatum Court, the old Tatum Court, and I snuck out to go watch the baseball games because the games were in the middle of the day. So I would sneak out. I was supposed to be running around downstairs. She'd be in there choreographing with Dr. Quave, and I'd be out watching the baseball game. So I was 6, 7 years old watching Cary baseball, then had the opportunity to actually play there. Coach Hofford recruited me. I was at Oak Grove. And when I had the chance to go there, it was a no-brainer for me compared to going to junior college. And so, yeah, it's just a part of my DNA. I mean, really, William Cary is it's just a part of me. So thankful for it.
It's a cool journey to look back and see how you got to where you are now, from those days back when you were a small kid playing around at William Cary to now the full circle moment to where your son is being recruited to play for the same coach that you were under in Coach Hofford as Micah enters William Cary. Tell us a little about that process and how much of it was his decision and how much was Dad pushing that?
No. Micah's been at Jones the last few years. He's a left-handed pitcher, and actually, it's a neat story how it came full circle. Coach Hofford had called him last year and said, hey, we'd like for you to come to Cary. And he had one more year at Jones, and he had some real close friends who went back to Jones. But throughout the year, Coach Hofford and even Coach McMahon now had contacted him and said, we still want you to come to Cary, and they've been gracious in that area. And it was really an easy decision for him. He's had a number of offers from other schools, but he's like, Dad, I can go home. And Micah's big thing was, do I want to go play for a smaller Division I school that doesn't win, that I may not pitch very much, or do I want to go to Cary and compete for a national championship? And he said, it's a no-brainer for me. So he's excited, thankful for Coach Hofford giving him that opportunity, and it'll be exciting. It'll be a neat thing because Micah played – I got to watch him play in Oak Grove uniform, which I got to do, and then to get to watch him play at William Cary is going to be a neat thing.
That's awesome.
The Cary connection, as it grows, a lot of people have a Southern Miss connection. And now more and more people I meet have that Cary connection. And that Cary connection is growing just because of the sheer size of the school and just the reach that it has now into the Gulf Coast and the size of the campus and so forth. As a business person around town, with all of your connections in history, do you find that more and more conversations that people are finding out more and more about Cary, that it's becoming a bigger part of the greater Hattiesburg community?
I definitely think that. I think there's, for so long, it was kind of played second fiddle to Southern Miss, and we all want Southern Miss to do well. It's absolutely part of our community. But there's room for two universities in Hattiesburg, and Cary's no longer like to me, it seems like Cary's, with all the growth and the school expanding and how they continue to update their facilities, and y'all talking about soccer and how successful it is, it's no longer like second fiddle. It's getting more and more to where people are realizing, hey, this is a great place. And I've had a number of people that have young people that are actually now, with all the new things they're offering at Cary in the medical field, that they're actually just, I'm going to Cary. And that's a neat thing, you know, instead of saying I'm going to go to Mississippi State just because my friends do, I'm going to go to Cary because I want to be in the medical field or other things. And so, yeah, I'm excited about what's going on at Cary, and just thankful to be. The great thing, too, and I'll finish with this, but the great thing for me, too, is I'm literally like to where our business is. I'm like 2 miles from the campus.
Yeah.
3 miles from the campus. So not only is that a blessing to go watch my son hopefully compete and play there, but just being right there even means more for me, to me.
We got about 90 seconds left, and you can go into as much detail as you want here, but what's the latest and greatest in the Daniel family as a whole? We talked William Cary, let's talk to you.
Yeah, I mean, we're in transition. I mean, many people are like this when you get to be my age, but I had a daughter get married, and she moved to Jackson. She's in a PT school, then Michael will be at William Cary, and then I got a daughter that'll finish it. Oak Grove, she'll be a senior this year. So, you know, a lot of transition in my house, but thankful for the community. I will say this. This ties into William Cary. But Hattiesburg's a wonderful place, and I'm thankful that I was able to stay, and so many people left, but I'm so grateful that I got to be in the community and stay here, because now I've got so many people that I've made connections with, and it's just a great place. So thanks for having me.
Absolutely. It's going to be fun to see you out there at the ball field. Looking forward to seeing you and see your son play out there. Mm-hmm. Always need some good pitchers, and we're looking forward to seeing what Micah brings to the table. And Eric Ebers, we'll tell him go easy on him. Or maybe he needs to go hard on him.
That's
You're the dad. You know how
go hard. What
makes him go. Oh, man. Good to have you on today, Breck. And look forward to maybe visiting with you down the line, all right?
Thank you very much.
All right. That is Breck Daniel, our crusader in the community. That's, I think, what we'll call this segment.
Going I like forward. It. I like it.
Our crusader in the community here on our June 23rd edition of Crusader Talk. Still got more coming up. We've got Coach Ryan McKenzie from Men's and Women's Track and Field to discuss all things William Cary track, recapping their season, the finish of the NAIA National Tournament, and a whole lot more as we keep winding down the dog days of summer. Counting down to the start of volleyball and soccer seasons. Still a lot to get to as we continue on throughout what's kind of the off season for Crusader Talk. But rest assured, we've got content and summer programming for you. Stay tuned as we visit with Coach McKenzie next on Crusader Talk.
Talking everything William Cary University Athletics. This is Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
Oh, man, such a great show already. And we're only halfway done.
Man, what a great interview.
Oh, dude, I love Breck so much. His wife and him have a great testimony as well. We may have to bring him back on at a different time, maybe, just to talk about what all they've gone through. She's now the director at the Learning Depot at Temple. And that was kind of a fun story of how that came to be as well. And then just their story of their children and how their family grew to what it is. There's a lot to unpack there. And we've been mainly focused on the William Cary sports side of things and the community aspect. But the Daniel family as a whole is a whole nother one.
And the one thing that I think bears mentioning on the air, and I'm sure Breck's listening right now, is that he said multiple offers, but did he want to go to a lower-level Division I that doesn't win, or did he want to come and compete for a national championship? And for him, it was a no-brainer. That is the level that Cary has put themselves on in terms of how they are viewed and perceived with talent in the JUCO ranks, in the high school ranks, and so forth. That is strong.
We need to put Mike on the recruiting trails with that. Yeah,
exactly right, because, I mean, again, he's got the Cary connection, obviously, but still, sometimes that's not enough to seal the deal. But you couple that with just everything going on, facilities, marketing, the success of the program, and on and on and on. It checks all the boxes and wants to come and compete for national championship. That's awesome.
And before we get to Coach McKenzie, I do want to point out something that I don't think we covered last episode because I don't know that it was public at that point. We touched on this, but Luke Lissette is one of the Crusaders that I was hinting at either last week or the week before about possibly playing in the Division I ranks, and he has now made it public that he is going to play for the University of New Orleans, UNO. He is one of those that qualifies because he started his career in 2021, I believe was the stipulation, played 4 years, and now is getting a fifth year at the Division I level. So hats off to him. Maybe some more Crusaders that fit that bill as well coming up. But his is the first one for the official news to drop.
Godbolt and Wynn headed to Old Dominion to play soccer. So headed to the Sun Belt. Okay. Headed to the Sun Belt for their Pavia year of extra NCAA eligibility.
So all kinds of stories there. But more importantly than what's to come with those, we need to recap what has been a terrific season yet again for William Carey Track and Field. And we're joined by one of our favorite regular attendees on the Crusader Absolutely. Talk podcast and radio show. Coach Ryan McKenzie is on the phone with us. Coach, how are you?
How you guys doing? I'm doing well. I'm doing well. Can't complain.
All right. So before we jump into track and field, I have to be honest with you. Josh and I were just musing last week in just a little fun segment we called what would be the ideal vacation that best fits each coach at William Carey University. And I think our selection for you was Disney World, in that you would be here, there, and everywhere, just going, going, going on a vacation. Break the seal and open it up for us of what actually is the true Ryan McKenzie type of vacation.
Well, you know, I really never thought about it in that aspect because, you know, I'm a character myself, so I can see myself running around Disney and just being animated. I can see myself being animated. But actually, I'm a water guy. I like being out in nature, so I would think somewhere beach-wise, but not real popular beach, more secluded, and you know, listen to the waves or something of that nature. I think that would be ideal for me, somewhere where I could go and get some good food and be next to some water.
I feel that right there.
Absolutely.
And if you find a good spot, you text it to me. We'll all go together to the quiet place.
He was finding some good food the last time I ran into him. I ran into him at the CAF.
Ooh. What was the popular chicken day?
It was chicken day.
Oh man, I don't think we could go a Crusader Talk episode without talking about chicken at the CAF. I feel like that's right. Just a mandatory feature.
I might be there Sunday. I may be there Sunday for lunch.
It could be. All right, Coach. Well, let's just kind of start from where we've left off as William Carey participated in the NAIA National Championships with track and field. Good finishes for both your squads, some good appearances by individuals. What were the big standouts as far as individuals and events?
Well, of course, on the men's side, we finished first and third in the 100 meters with Bonavis and Jalen. Bonavis Agger and Jalen Sessions. We finished second overall in the 4x1 men's relay. And with that relay, we actually broke the NAIA national record at conference, which we hosted at home this past season. We broke that record at conference. We quite didn't get to that time at nationals. The weather was a little colder than normal. And also, we had a little rough exchange between our second and third leg. And we kind of, right there at the end, Jalen Sessions ran the fourth leg for us. And he was really coming along, and we thought he was going to kind of nip him at the edge, but they beat us at the end. But we didn't get to really finish what we had hoped to. But we finished second overall on the 4x1 men. We had a great run in the jumps, of course, finishing second and third in the long jump. So we had some pretty good highlights. 4x1 team finished All American as well. So we had a pretty good turnout at nationals on the men's side. On the women's side, of course, we 4x1 team. We were national champs. We finished runner up in the 100 hurdles, runner up in the 100. That was Felicie Miles and Danae Wilson. We did fairly well in the jumps. We had a national champion in Fagar Clifford in a triple jump. So we had some national champions and some runner ups. We finished third overall on both sides. So it was great.
That just speaks to the consistency you get year in and year out. And I know it's not easy, especially with all this transfer portal business. And NAIA is a popular target for D1s to come and poach players or poach athletes that are so talented and can be talented across the entire college athletics landscape. So where I'm going with this is, how does that affect you as far as your recruiting of people to come to Cary, and then also just recruiting the roster that you currently have?
Well, it hurts on some points, and some points it helps. Of course, it always helps when we find an athlete that wants to come to Cary and transfer to Cary. So that's always a great. But also, sometimes when we lose an athlete, it hurts a lot because the recruiting aspect, especially if we're not in knowing of losing that athlete. That's the biggest thing. Often we lose athletes for some reason. I'm going to say we produce pretty good, talented athletes at William Cary on the track and field side and overall in all sports. So normally if we lose an athlete, that athlete will come along and say at some point during the season or before the season. That's an easier hit than when the season is ending or the season is over and all of a sudden you get a call from a coach or a call from an athlete that's saying that they're trying to transfer. So it hurts a lot. And we've been producing pretty good athletes, and it's hit us pretty good. This past year we're losing Ronaldo Andrews to Nebraska, and I think we have a hurdler, Mario Santin, that will be going to Louisiana Monroe.
Coach McKenzie, Josh here, when you talk about just diving further into this recruiting side of it, and you're talking about what goes with that, there aren't many programs that have had the type of sustained success that this Cary program has had, not only on the men's side, but on the women's side as well. As the landscape continually evolves and changes, how much weight does that success continue to carry? And as you, and no pun intended there, but in the ability to develop players. So the success and the development, how much of those two carried that weight?
Well, it carries a lot of weight because with the new regime of how things are moving, if you look across the board of sports, the development is starting to change. Majority of coaches, depending on what division you're in, the development is kind of going out because now coaches are looking for ready-made athletes, somebody who can step in and be ready. On the William Cary side, we are still sticking to our platform. We built on development. We were built on that. And that's why I'm still heavy on recruiting in our state, which, and this is no shot at any high school coach or anything that may be listening. Our state is not really huge in track and field, but we have great athletes here in the state of Mississippi, and the only thing they need is the development. So I love the fact that we're still bringing those athletes in, and we're going to stick to those guns. We're not going to jump into the circle. Of course, we want athletes that can come in and are ready to go. But we also like to build and we like to develop and we like to build those relationships because those are the type of athletes that come in and they feel like they're at home and they stay and they do it a Cary way.
Coach McKenzie, you're talking to someone who has for now, I would say, a decade or more broadcast the high school track and field championships and have been there at the finish line for almost – I mean, maybe 80% of those races, and I've watched those things you've talked about, whether it's maybe nutrition or hydration has not been quite what it's needed to be, or maybe it's the passing of the baton, maybe it's having the fundamentals down in the blocks. Depending on the year, you'll see a heartbreaking amount of false starts, just those little things. So is Mississippi one of the most hidden gems in terms of that ratio you're talking about, great athletes, in terms of then underdeveloped because track and field just kind of gets lost in the shuffle in Mississippi?
I really do think it's a hidden gem, and you have to put your eyes on it. If you come and you go to the state meets and all, you can put your eyes on the athletes and you can tell there's talent there. And maybe that like you said, starting block or hydration or over and not in the right event or things of that nature, too many events to be able to perform in one well. So I do think that Mississippi is a hidden gem when it comes to track and field.
Coach, we got just a couple seconds left here, and I realize I'm kind of dialing back the clock a little bit further than the NAIA National Championships run. But how was it getting to host the conference championships over at William Cary's track facility?
Well, I'm gonna be honest about that one. That was really a struggle for me as a coach because I'm so hands-on with coaching. When you're a host, you're more an administrator. So you're like running the meet. So every question, everything that's needed across the meet comes directly to you. I like the fact that our athletes were able to compete in front of a home crowd. That was great. It was wonderful to be able to see, you know, the peers and the other sports come out and actually see what we really do, because we talk about it, we post about it, everybody hears about it, but they never really get to see it. So they were able to see it this year, which was great. But it really worked me, I tell you that much.
Oh, well, the rain probably didn't help you either, because that was a rough week.
Oh, no, it did not.
Oh, Coach. Well, and hey, I mentioned it on the podcast after it happened, but it was so cool to see the girls get to march through Milton Wheeler Field, hoisting that trophy high and get the ovation they deserved after all that.
And I tell you what, that was impromptu. We did not know we were going to do that. We called Coach English, and of course he said, "Man, you guys come, Coach English and Lauren." They said, "Come on down to the baseball game," and we didn't know how it was going to happen. It was like, "Hey, this is what we're going to do. Let's make it happen." And we walked down, and we really were able to celebrate, and that made those girls smile because they got some recognition that we normally don't do because we're normally not at home when we win that trophy.
I'll tell you what, Coach, let's do it again next year. Sounds good to me. How about you?
I would love to, but we just found out that we will be hosting conference in Gulf Shores next year. Gulf Shores is the spot.
Well, we'll recognize you one way or another. How about? All right. That is Coach Ryan McKenzie for William Carey Men's and Women's Track and Field. Josh and I will wrap things up when we come back. You're listening to Crusader Talk.
From the coaches to the student athletes and the fans that cheer them on, you're listening to Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
Great show. If you missed any of our interviews earlier with Clayton Rush, Brett Daniel, or with Coach McKenzie, you can catch those on demand wherever you get your podcasts. I've mentioned that already once in this show, but if you're out there driving around throughout the Hub City, you can catch everything, even old interviews, old news, good news, some repeat news. It's all right there in podcast form. You can go back and listen to all kinds of different episodes where we've talked to athletes, coaches, you name it. If you liked a certain episode because there were great things going on with baseball or softball, you could just go there and reminisce. I've done that before. Not with our own content, but with other sports teams that I follow content. But that's the glory of podcasts. They're there, and they're there to stay, and they're there for your entertainment. By the way, do you have any podcasts that you frequent, Josh? Or are you just kind of more of a live, as it happens, type of guy?
Ministry podcasts, sermon podcasts.
I got one of those. I have two.
So that is the probably largest extent. And then, though... I'm hesitant to subscribe. I don't want another monthly bill. So for example, like Tucker Carlson, I don't subscribe to that because how many do you subscribe to? If everybody has one, those $4, $5, $6, $7 a month, that adds up. How many are you going to have?
Well, most podcasts are not a paid
most
service.
Most are not. But some of the people that I want to are behind paywalls. So yeah, but I have a couple. But like I said, mostly ministry-minded sermon-type podcasts.
Yeah, there's some good ones, too. Like, I remember, I think they still update episodes. Like, Tim Keller's got one, like old sermons of his. Some people have old sermons maybe of other theologians over the years that are pretty good to go back and listen to. Some old recordings even from, say, the 40s, 50s, and maybe even before. There's some of those out there that you can find out there. But anyway... Looking ahead, we've got some great stuff coming up in the world of sports, not just the schedules upcoming with William Carey soccer getting started in late August, about August 21st. Can you believe it? We are less than 2 months away Jeez. From the start of soccer at Carey in 2025. But you and I have the chance to be a part of something fun as we do annually with the Mississippi Sportscasters Kickoff Gathering.
Yeah, it's going to be great. French Camp does a great job of hosting that event. And to be able to get together with all of our colleagues around the state and literal legends, Hall of Famers. And Mississippi, I mean, just with Jack Crystal, David Kellerman, John Cox, those three that will have a combined, when it's all said and done, pushing somewhere between 160 to 175 years of combined broadcasting, whenever they each hang up their careers and you put their three together, that'll be somewhere between 160 and 175 years. That's remarkable. That I don't know if that's matched between a big group of three schools in any state like it has in Mississippi.
Yeah, if my count is right, Jack retired after 58 years of football. David Kellum and John have the same number in baseball, and that's, I believe, 47 each.
Yeah, and they'll get to 50, you would think, as long as they can stay healthy, and you wish that for them, because every year the story gets bigger around them that they continue to do what they do and love it as much as they've ever loved it.
But yeah, if you're out there and you're an aspiring sportscaster, this is for you as well. There's a lot of networking opportunities as you go up there to French Camp. There's a forum online. Just search for French Camp Mississippi, their website, and there is a sign-up form. You can go to the events tab, and the info should be there. You can also look at my social media. I'm going to post the flyer once they release it with a QR code and link to where you can sign up. But it's free. Unless you want to eat lunch, then it's just a $10 donation fee if you want. Just to go up there and hang out with the likes of Neil Price at Mississippi State, David Kellum at Ole Miss, John Cox, I believe, is slated to be there. Jim Ellis, a former Mississippi State baseball announcer, is supposed to be there as well. And then
should have Lee Roberts and
yeah, Lee
Jason
Roberts.
Baker of yeah, and all that.
I heard Jason may not make it because he's got a big fishing trip that same week.
Oh, goodness. Okay.
His big annual trip there.
Okay.
But one of my favorite group of guys is Charles Edmonds and Rob J.
Oh.
From Alcorn State and Jackson State. Those guys, you know, there's this kind of a divide between the high school announcers and, you know, the likes of Neil Price, David Kellum, and all of them. Because they go for you go from, you know, the deer stands to the big D1 venues. Then the guys of Alcorn State and Jackson State kind of meet you in the middle. They're like, man, we've been through some tough ones before. I've broadcast from a stairwell. There's this one school that doesn't like you to use their booth because the coach's wife has it. Like, Rob J. is one of my favorite storytellers ever.
He is.
And
I've
got a clip that I got to go back and share again about how he memorized an entire school's roster in preparation for the game. And he gets to the stadium to ask about a couple names and how they pronounce them. And the guy from the other school goes, oh, man, this is last year's roster. And the room erupted. And it's stories like that and fun times that just make it worth it every year.
It's the way that Rob delivers the punchline as well.
It is.
Nobody delivers one better.
So that's it. By the way, the date for that is Thursday, July 24th. So you got some time to plan and get around to that. So if you're an aspiring sportscaster or current sportscaster, want to be part of that, would love to have you join us up there at French Camp for that broadcaster's kickoff gathering. Man, another episode in the books. Less than 2 months away, as I pointed out, to William Carey Athletics kicking right back up into gear as we'll host LSUA. Hey, next week, got Commissioner Mike Hall to join us to talk about Xavier joining the SSAC. Don't want to miss that. We'll have a whole lot more as the summer editions of Crusader Talk continue on. But until next time, for our board operator tonight, Michael Mergens, and my co-host Josh West, I'm Caleb Hamill. Until next time, good night, God bless, and go Saders.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.